Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for the Study of the Mind of the Mechanic here at Car Talk Plaza.
No, it's not just the mechanic.
Well, we have new insights, and this is actually a study that took place in Italy. But since we are both Italian Americans and auto mechanics, I feel confident in applying the results willy-nilly, whoever willy-nilly is, to auto mechanics everywhere. Now, this was published in the Italian Psychology Review, Risa Psicosomatica. And here's the news. You ready for this?
Yeah.
70% of Italian men and women interviewed confessed to telling between 5 and 10 lies every day. With the most common of all lies being, you ready for this? Tell me if this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's all been taken care of.
I don't think this applies to mechanics everywhere. I have to take issue with that.
Really?
Yeah. I think it applies to Italians everywhere.
Maybe.
I mean, 7 to 10 every day?
Well, his 27% lie to cover up errors. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Another 21% lied for the good of some other person. For example, one of your guys leaves the drain plug loose on the oil pan. Yeah. You're going to lie to protect him, right?
Of course.
Otherwise, they'll put him up before a firing squad.
All your wife says, am I fat? And you're lying to protect your butt.
Well, code of honor kind of stuff. You know. And 42% said they lied to avoid conflicts. That's pretty good.
Yeah, like if your wife says, am I fat?
You see, so we got 42%, 27% from the other thing, 21%. What's that come up to?
90.
90. What about the other 10%?
I guess they just lied for practice. I love this. I love this study.
Yeah. Is it just Italians?
Well, I mean, it happened to be done with Italians, but I suppose who else would lie?
Have you lied today?
I lied today. No. I got a lot of catching up to do. I got 10 to go.
We got a few lies in store. Am I fat?
No.
Do
no.
I look fat to you?
No, you're short. Short for your weight. Is that what they say?
Well, that's good. That's very comforting.
How do I look? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now
if you want to call us about your car or have us lie to you about your
only
car.
Only 9 to go.
The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Naomi from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi, Naomi. What's going on?
Well, I was driving with my family in our Jeep Cherokee. It's a 2000.
Uh-huh.
And it's really cold here, so we had the heater going full blast, and we started to smell a weird, bitter kind of smell, almost like something burning.
Oh.
Then, after the smell, about 30 seconds later, suddenly the fan just turned off.
Yeah, because the blower motor
was
melting.
Was melting, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Actually, what you smelled probably is the insulating windings on the electric motor that turns that fan. So now you have no fan.
Right.
Right.
Right. Mm.
And?
So that's
and you got a problem with that?
Well, it's really cold here.
It's, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're going to need that because you can't rely on...
You can't have a defroster either. That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
We know the heater works because when we go really fast on the freeway, we feel a little bit of warmth coming from the fan.
Right.
Yeah,
because
you're not going to be able to get any real warmth coming out of there because there's no fan.
And it's not really winter yet. Once it's really winter...
Oh.
And the window's all for you'll have to sit in the driveway till like May before you can drive the car, before you generate enough heat. So you have to have that blower motor replaced.
We have to have the blower motor replaced. How much is that going to cost?
I don't think it's a whole lot of money.
No,
it's not too bad. I think on this Cherokee, it's probably fairly accessible. I think it's right under the dash.
Give me a guess. Let me write down my guess.
I'm guessing $161.78. We just did one last week at the shop.
Well, that's interesting because I wrote $200.
Yeah, I think it's probably less than $200.
Okay.
And maybe not much more than $100 or so.
Okay.
Okay?
All right,
but do it because
otherwise... You got to do it right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because the price goes up every day.
The colder it gets.
The cold weather. Exactly. See you, Naomi.
Thanks.
thereby.
Do they adjust their prices? I mean, if you go in and you have to get this done, and it's a couple of days before 0 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Price goes way up.
Price goes way up.
It right? should, right?
Why not?
I hadn't thought of that.
If you can get it.
Get it.
Charge them for it. That's it.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Bob from Mount Kisco, New York.
Hi, Bob.
Mount Kisco.
You know my buddy Carmen Marchia that lives in Mount Kisco?
No, I don't.
No, you're lucky.
Well,
I'm from upstate New York. I've been down here about 20 years now, but my hometown's upstate.
Oh. What's up, Bob?
Well, I got a 99 Hyundai Sonata.
Uh-huh.
And my four daughters won't ride in the front seat with me. They always sit in the back. My wife won't drive it. My son's making fun of me.
Why?
Well, I have the vinyl missing on the passenger side above the glove box. It's about there's a big hole in the dash.
In the dash, yeah.
What happened? Did a goat get in there and eat it?
Very close.
Close?
Very close. I came home from hockey one night, which I take my dog with me all the time.
Oh.
She was in the car, and I couldn't get in the front door, so I was out walking around the house trying to find the window that was open.
And she was eating the dashboard.
Well, a cat jumped up on the hood of the car.
Oh.
And then the dog noticed it, and it was trying to get at the cat.
Oh, so it scratched away at the.
Oh, it scratched, it bit, it chewed. It was amazing. I came back around, and I saw everything in that car was flying.
And the cat knew. You know, cats know these things.
Oh, they do.
The cat knew that glass was there.
Oh, yeah.
And if that cat did that to torment your dog.
I was amazing.
Absolutely.
So now
your whole family won't sit anywhere near you.
Well, they won't sit anywhere near the passenger seat.
And they won't sit in the passenger seat because they're embarrassed to be seen in the vicinity of such carnage?
I think that might be it, but I'm not positive.
Now, the airbag is right there.
Exactly.
Now, has the airbag been uncovered? Or is that, you know, can you see any of that?
Well, underneath the vinyl,
yeah.
I see a yellow foam.
Yeah, oh, that's okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then under the yellow foam, occasionally chunks of that are missing. I can see a white plastic.
That's the airbag.
That's the airbag, right.
Yeah, I guess you have to find out if the airbag has been damaged.
No, I don't think that's the problem. What I was thinking of doing, but my car just happens to be masking tape silver gray.
Oh,
oh, I mean duct tape.
Duct tape.
Duct tape.
Duct tape silver gray. What could be better than that?
Exactly. So I was wondering if I take the masking tape and paste it up.
Yeah, no, you can't do that because that stuff is so tough, it'll prevent the airbag from deploying. Either you have to leave it alone, and in which case the airbag will deploy. But, you know, with all that stuff removed, it may deploy too well.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to have to bite
to
the bullet here,
junkyard.
Bob, and go to the junkyard and see how much they'll give you for the car.
Oh.
Yeah, you can get it. You can buy a used dashboard. They're sold all the time.
Oh, you can buy them.
Yeah. And you know what? You may be able to put this through your homeowner's insurance.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Why? Does he live in the car?
Well, what if your dog ate your rug?
But that's your house. That car is not your house.
But the dog is part of the home.
It's worth a shot.
Tell them the car was parked in the... You have a garage? Tell them the car was in the living room when this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to choose your words. Either you're covered or you're not. But you should choose your words carefully. And I would just tell them the truth. Tell them what happened. And, you know...
Truth? What are you, crazy?
And either way, though, don't put masking tape on it.
I wouldn't. I don't think I'd put tape of any kind. I don't think you want to impede the deployment of the airbag. That could be dangerous, and it's not going to look that great either.
No.
I would go to a body shop. Body shops replace dashboards all the time.
That's not a bad idea. And you can't. You got to do the whole dashboard. They can't take a section of it. And just...
No. Unless you have a chainsaw. Yeah. No, you got to do the whole thing.
They'll do the whole thing.
The whole thing,
and then your family will come back and talk to you.
But you've learned something about your...
Well, maybe it's okay the way it is now.
I don't have a problem with
it. But you've learned something about your family, Bob. They're kind of shallow.
He said, I don't have a problem with it.
My My son, who got me to call you, just turned 16.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be driving soon.
And he doesn't want to be caught.
That's what's doing
He's not going to put any high school girls in that passenger seat with that ugly dashboard there. Not on his life.
That's
why he wants it fixed.
That just came to me.
Obviously.
And it's got to get fixed, too.
Well, he's right. Yeah, it should get fixed for a lot of different reasons. Plus, you know, he's not going to have a date for the senior prom if you don't get. You could ruin this kid forever.
That's right.
By not replacing the dashboard. But get an estimate and call your homeowner's insurance company and call your car insurance company if it's not the same company and find out what they'll do for you.
That's when they stop laughing.
Good luck, Bob.
Thanks very much.
See you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's
problems.
I know. Well, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
My name is Diana. I'm in Minneapolis.
Diana.
Yes. How are you?
Minneapolis.
We're not bad.
Good.
You know my buddy Les Block?
Do I know him?
Yeah.
I'm my next-door neighbor? No, I don't know him.
Yeah. Well, when you bump into him, Dr. Les Block.
Dr. Les Block.
Tell him I said hello, because he never listens to this.
What is he a doctor of?
He's a doctor of dentistry.
Dentistry.
Yeah.
Okay, I could use him.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you'd want to.
I wouldn't. He never washes his hands.
Oh, okay.
Is that important? He tells me it's not.
Okay. Well, when he works on you, it's not. For other patients, it is. Anyway, Diana, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for taking my call. And why is it every time I listen to you guys, I feel like I can get advice for my car, advice for my love life, and maybe even access to a hitman if I needed one. Is it the accent?
Diana, come on.
Is it the accent, though?
So what's on your mind today, this beautiful day?
Okay, I have a Nissan Stanza. Had it for almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Had no trouble with the brakes. Nothing unusual. In the last year, it's needed 3 brake jobs. And somebody, my car repair guy, said somebody has a really heavy foot.
Yeah, well, I guess he's referring to you, eh?
No.
No?
The only new thing in the last year since this has been happening is my significant other that's come into the scene. But can one person tromp on the brakes hard enough to do 3 brake jobs?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you stomp on the gas pedal and stomp on the brake pedal, then you can wear out brakes in no time.
Really?
Now,
does your SO drive like this?
Sometimes, but not, I don't think it's that excessive.
How often does he drive the car when you're not in it?
Every day.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And when you are in it, occasionally he drives like this.
Yeah.
More often than not, he drives like you drive.
Yeah. Right.
He's a closet wacko.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And when you're in the car with him, he's trying to show that he's trying to cover up his real driving
behavior.
You
need to hire Paul Drake Detective Agency. I think if you follow him around for one day, if they can follow him around, because I suspect they're going to have a hard time keeping up with him, they'll discover that he zooms away from every stoplight and slams on the brake at every stoplight.
Have you also noticed that you run out of gas a lot more frequently than you used to?
Yeah, actually.
We got him pegged.
Actually, yes.
Yeah, because he's stomping on that gas pedal, using up gas unnecessarily, and then because he's going too fast, he's got to stomp on the brake pedal, using up brakes unnecessarily.
I suspect he hates this car.
Well, I made him get rid of his van last month.
You made him.
Made him.
Oh, made
wow.
him.
Made, huh?
Made
it,
him.
It needed about $4,000 worth of work.
How did you make him do this?
I have the checkbook.
So there may be a little resentment toward this car.
There might be a little resentment toward Diana.
There may be. I'd put a tail on him.
Yeah, but he's clearly, he's doing it. There's no doubt in my mind that.
Okay.
Well, if he isn't doing it, if Paul Drake does follow him around and tells you that he's not the wacko that we think he is,
uh-huh.
I would recommend that you have the mechanic look at the possibility of a faulty vacuum booster.
Vacuum booster.
Yeah, because it could be that the booster is faulty and actually keeping the brakes on to some extent all the time.
In which case, extend our apologies and Doug Berman's apologies, the apologies of the entire staff, and NPR and all its affiliates.
Right. And if it turns out that the booster is okay and it is your boyfriend,
then we retract.
Then call us and we'll get a hitman for you.
Yeah, I knew you could do that.
See you later.
Thanks for calling, Diana.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Good luck.
Bye.
Okay, Tommy, are you ready for your weekly
no,
puzzler hints?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to help you remember last week's puzzle. You ready?
All right, yeah.
Okay, your first hint. The reason you go to the gym is to avoid getting blank.
To avoid getting any work done.
No. Well, I was looking for a spare tire, you know.
Getting a spare tire. That's
okay, here's your next hint. It comes in the form of an automotive poem that you yourself penned many, many years ago.
I was into
on the
poetry.
Air, if I remember correctly, and it goes something like this.
We got thrown off the air for this very poem.
Yeah, but the FCC doesn't listen to every show now.
They don't?
No.
All right, go ahead.
Winter is a grand old time of that there are no ifs or buts. But remember all that salt and grime can rust your bolts and freeze your...
Oh, no. I'm not going to say that. I actually said this on the air.
I'm talking about wheel nuts. Come on, the puzzle was about a spare tire and the strategic placement of wheel nuts.
Oh, that's right.
And I'll have the answer in just a minute.
Can rest your bolts and it just fit, you know?
It just flowed right off the tongue.
Something else. Well, you can get stereo tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it up, and over a period of time, this $4,000 car of mine cost $14,000.99. Well, now, Lord, Mr. Ford, I just wish that you could see what your simple horseless carriage has become. Well, it seemed your contribution to man, to say the least, got a little out of hand. Well, Lord, Mr. Ford, what have you done?
And even though devoted Hostess fans jam their last remaining Twinkies into their ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm.
This was a puzzler about my brother and his son, Alex, and it took place many moons ago when Alex was learning to drive. Anyway, Tommy fired up the old 63 Dart one day and took the kid out to some backcountry roads to give him, you know, practice behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex is driving along and doing rather well when suddenly Tommy realizes that the right rear tire has gone flat. It's a little country road, and they pull off to the shoulder. Tommy doesn't want to change the tire, so he says, Alex, a learning opportunity for you. Here's a chance for you to change a flat tire.
Everyone should have the experience, I thought.
So while Tommy kicks back and lights up a cigar, the kid loosens the wheel nuts and jacks up the car and very carefully puts the wheel nuts in the hubcap. But when he goes to retrieve the spare tire, he inadvertently steps on the hubcap and sends all but one of those wheel nuts cascading down the nearby hillside, never to be seen again.
Mm.
So he got out of the five wheel nuts, he's got one that he managed to save, and the others are gone. Tommy, after administering an appropriate number of dope slaps, says, we're done for! We're gonna die out here! But Alex says, wait a minute. Can you have four wheel nuts on every wheel instead of five? And Tommy says, yeah, of course we can, at least until we get back to town. It'll be perfectly safe. Alex says, well, we can take then one nut off each of the other wheels, leaving four on each wheel, and we'll have four on this wheel. And we'll be all set.
Kid was always thinking, you know?
Wow. Well, anyway, 3 hours later, the rescue team with the bloodhounds tracks them down and brings them back to civilization. The question is, why didn't it work?
It
seemed like such a good idea at the time.
Well, the hint was it was Tommy's 63 Dart. And for a bunch of years, and I don't know exactly how many, Chrysler on the driver's side of the car made the wheel nuts left-hand thread. The idea being as you went down the road, the wheel nuts would tighten themselves up as opposed to loosening themselves up. So as your wheel turned, the nut would be turning in the same direction that it would turn to tighten it, and there'd be no risk of having the wheel nuts fly off.
So two of the wheels had left-hand threads, and two of the wheels had right-hand threads.
So the ones on the left-hand side of the car could never be used in this little plan that Alex devised, and thus they were stuck there because the best they could do was put two wheel nuts on one wheel.
5, 5, 4, and 2. So close, though. Good one. That's a good one.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. The winner is Margie Harrison from Charleston, South Carolina.
There you go.
And for having her answer selected at random from the hubcap full of correct answers that we got, Marge will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get our CD collection, Car Talk Cartoons, the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs. It's quite good, by the way.
Yes, this is the one that has songs like Loose Wheel. You picked a fine time to leave me, Loose Wheel. You picked a fine time to leave me,
Loose Wheel. And you can't get there from here in Jersey. Another great hit. Plus Auto Service Hell, My Bloody Yugo, Midlife Chrysler. All the great hits that weren't great until we made them great. And that's it.
Are you done?
Yeah. You want me to be done?
Yeah, very, very much. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned for your chance to win. In the meantime, give us a call about your car. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nan from Bolton, Massachusetts.
Nan with an N?
Yes.
N-A-N?
Yes.
From Bolton.
Where is Bolton? I've heard of it.
It's apple country out west.
Yeah, it's near Worcester.
Yeah.
Near Worcester.
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 So what's up?
I have a white Acura Integra automatic transmission.
Uh-huh.
I've parked it outside its entire life, except for 3 times I've parked it in my boyfriend's garage. And each time when I got up to start it the next morning, it wouldn't start.
That's because you didn't want his other girlfriends to see that you were there.
Well, we're married now.
Oh, okay.
And
but
at the time,
you weren't married.
At the time, we weren't married, and we're married now. Yeah. But now, you see, his Triumph, his TR6, is in the other side of the garage.
Yeah.
And the big debate is, does he move his Triumph so I can put the car in the garage? Will it start again?
Oh, I see. So clearly he's lobbying for keeping the TR6 in the garage.
And I'm lobbying for not having snow all over my car every morning. The car, it wouldn't start. We go to start. It like, eventually, if you nursed it, I'd roll it out of the garage and nurse it, and it would start.
And what, it just cranked and wouldn't start?
It just wouldn't start.
One of those?
All the electrical worked fine.
Yeah.
Leave it outside, it's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it never happened any other time except in his garage.
Correct.
Boy, that's an interesting question. Maybe we can not answer.
We need to know more about the garage.
The garage.
Yeah. Is it under the house?
It's a one-car garage?
No, it's a two-car garage.
So why can't both cars fit in there?
They can, but, well, his car, his regular car, and then the baby.
Oh.
Oh, he doesn't get, he doesn't get two cars.
Why should he have two? Exactly right.
Because it's his baby.
No, but what's the other car?
Oh, it's an Audi.
Yeah, so why does he keep that in there, too? Who does he think he is?
Well,
so you know what the trouble is?
Yes, it was his house.
It was his house.
You need to.
You got to move.
Yeah.
You should never have married him and then moved into the house that he lived in.
What were you thinking?
That's his house. The marriage can't succeed under circumstances like that. You got to start off equally. You got to move into neutral territory. So forget about the car. Forget why it doesn't start. Just move. That's it.
Well, I suppose I should tell you a little bit about this marriage.
You're going to have to, I guess.
Oh, see.
Well, we're both in our mid-40s, so we're not like infants.
How long have you been married?
Since May.
I was going to say 6 months.
6 months. That's just about right.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Why won't the car start?
Forget about the damn car.
Who cares about the car?
Stupid
car.
Come on. I mean, the car, who
knows? There's no good reason why it shouldn't have started.
No. But it does make sense that if he's going to keep the TR6 in the garage, there is absolutely no way he's going to get the second spot also. I mean, what the hell kind of marriage is this? Come on. Just tell him, hey, Frank, get the car out of the garage or I'm history and I'm taking the TR6 with me.
Right.
And that's it.
Okay.
That's all. Come on, Nan. You all know
right.
that.
I guess I agree.
Deep in your heart, you know. You must have said to yourself, my God, I love him, but why does he get both spaces in the garage?
It must have crossed your mind at least
once. I
mean,
pretty soon he's going to start lying crosswise on the bed, and he'll say, Nan, there's a sofa out there in the living room. Why don't you use that?
Right.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Does he let you use the stereo?
One speaker.
He does almost all the cooking.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, so what?
And the grocery shopping.
So he doesn't let you use the kitchen either, huh?
He's a control freak here.
Yeah. I'd run.
I'd get out of there.
Yeah.
Is he home now?
No.
Good. This is your chance to get escape.
Take the TR6 and go.
I wish we could help you about the Integra, but we can't.
Yeah, I think you should really start looking for another house, though. That's the best advice we can give you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to start on... Yeah, you can't move into the other person's house. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I mention your name?
Absolutely. Mention our names, and you can tell them everything we said, including all the invective.
Okay.
Indeed.
Don't leave anything out.
Can I get a tape?
You can get a... Oh, yeah, you're going to need it for the hearing.
Good luck, man. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye.
Why would a car not start in the garage?
Who cares? 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You laugh. You're laughing.
No, I'm just raising my feet off the floor. It's getting deep in here.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. It's Nathan from Indianapolis.
Hey, Nathan. Doing? What's going on?
Well, I have a 91 Nissan 240SX with about 250,000 miles on it. And I came out to my car.
250, did you say?
You bet.
All right.
Yeah, it's a wonderful car. But I came out to my car the first cold morning a couple weeks ago, and my clutch pedal, it's a stick, the clutch pedal was on the floor. And
did it just kind of fallen off?
You left the car the night before and it was up,
yep.
And you came out in the morning and it was down.
Yep.
Oh, yes, the old clutch pedal collapse.
Yeah.
Yes, you've seen it happen.
So, and this has happened to me before. So I opened up the hood and refilled the...
The reservoir.
Right, the now empty reservoir.
Yeah.
And I was able to pump up the clutch pedal and it usually takes a few days, and this has only happened once or twice before, but it usually takes a couple days of pumping the pedal at each stoplight, and then it would get better. Well, it's been 2 weeks now, and I'm still pumping the pedal at every stoplight, and it seems to be getting worse.
Well, you should consider...
selling the car.
No.
Oh, good.
No. See,
good.
I don't think the stoplight pumping is enough. I think
okay.
You ought to make yourself a nice TV dinner. And go sit in the car,
yeah.
And while you eat, maybe bring a book.
Excellent.
Well, you know, you could do one of two other things.
Could be more than one dinner though.
It could be.
It might be a three
dinner and a date. Dinner and a movie.
Perfect.
But what you could consider doing is actually bleeding it the conventional way, and that is by having an assistant open the bleeder.
Yeah, you didn't do that, huh?
Now, how long did it take before it ran out since the last time this happened?
Oh, it's been a year or two.
Huh.
A year or two. So the leak you think is very small.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you don't bleed it, it's going to take forever.
Bleeding the slave cylinder?
Right.
Okay.
You know where the slave cylinder is? It's right on the transmission.
Right, right.
Okay, and the slave cylinder has a little bleeder not on it. I think it's probably 7 or 8 millimeters or something like that. It might be 10 millimeters in this thing, but if you have the right size wrench, you'll put it on there and you'll snap the bleeder right off because it hasn't been opened in 10 years.
Perfect.
If you do break the bleeder off, you can then try to bleed it right at the master.
Okay.
Where the line goes in, and you simply will have an assistant pump the pedal,
uh-huh.
Okay, and hold the pedal to the floor after several pumps. And you will crack that line open. And when you do that, a mixture of air bubbles, and it'll be obvious, it'll be foamy what comes out.
Wait a minute, why does the assistant get the easy job?
Well, I'm assuming that Nathan would want to give the assistant. Otherwise, your assistant may not be there the next time you call. Said assistant.
Yeah, being a 10 years, you forget who he is.
Now you could actually then, if you wanted to, and I don't know what your hopes are for this car. You're trying to go for like 500,000 miles, or
that's my goal. Yeah, I want to drive it until I die, not it dies.
Well, that can
be arranged.
Yeah, you don't sound old enough. My brother, on the other hand, has a couple of cars that might fill the bill for him. But anyway, you could try to find the leak, and I'm guessing it's the master cylinder.
Okay.
If you look up under the dash, you'll probably see a trail of brake fluid coming out of the dust boot on the master. If not, it's the slave or it's both. I mean, at its age, it could be anything that's leaking.
Mm-hmm.
So find the leak. And if it's a lot, then you should replace the piece that's leaking. But if not, find
just
someone.
Bleed it and you'll be all set.
Maybe you could just hail a passerby. Say, hey, Mac, you mind pumping my pedal a few times?
Perfect.
And it should do it for you.
Okay, so I don't have to sell my car because that's,
oh,
that's what my
no.
wife wanted
Are you
to do.
Kidding?
No,
of
course
not.
Well, of course you should if your wife wants you to do it. Has she gotten to the point where she won't ride in this thing with you anymore?
No, but I'm not letting her drive it just because. I mean, it's a pretty complicated thing to pump the pedal.
Yeah, and you don't want to show her what a real jalopy it is. So as long as you're at the controls,
that's
she can
right.
just ride and think that everything is all right. Yeah. Good strategy, Nathan. Keep her away from driving this thing.
Excellent.
And when she won't get in it anymore,
yes.
then it's time to get rid of it.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Good luck, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
What's up?
What a nice voice you have.
Oh, thank you.
Where are you from?
Guys have great voices. I'm from currently Bethesda, Maryland.
Huh.
Currently.
Well, I just moved back. This is my home, and
I
was in Detroit for a long, long time.
Oh, okay. You're happy to be home.
Yeah.
Is your family, the rest of your relatives happy to have you home? Or?
I'm not so sure.
anyway, what's happening?
Well, this is really a question. I don't have a car problem currently.
Yeah.
But we are a family that does a lot of road trips, and so we play a lot of games in the car.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know whether you're familiar with the game called Padiddle.
Yes.
I'm not.
When you see a car with one headlight.
Right, it's the one headlight car game.
Right.
Ah.
So right.
See, I never do that because no one will ride with me.
Right.
If I'm driving, I'm always by myself.
So how do you play the game, Barbara?
Currently we play it by touching the ceiling of the car when we see a padiddle and yelling padiddle.
Okay.
And then whomever sees the most headlights out wins.
Right.
But we never really keep score. It's just something to keep us occupied while we're on long trips.
Something to keep
or
you
short
from,
trips.
Something to keep you from fighting with your kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My kids are just wondering if the car's going to keep going or not.
So here's my question. When I played it many, many years ago, we would see them very, very infrequently. Now we see like every 20th car or so is a padiddle.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we had a puzzler about this some years ago, about this very thing.
Well, here's my question. Is it because people are just lazy and don't fix their headlights? Or is it that the headlights are going out so much quicker because the quality of the lights are poorer?
Well, I think there's a little bit
of both.
Of everything. I think the lights do blow out with greater frequency because they run very hot. And they probably don't last as long as the old-fashioned glass-sealed beams, as they were called.
Okay.
But the reason primarily that people don't change them, I think, and this was the reason for the puzzler...
is that they don't notice it.
They don't notice it because one light's good enough.
That's true.
But when
the lights are much brighter now than they used to be.
Yeah, back in the old days when you had... Remember those lights that you had on like your 67 Falcon? I mean, if one of those...
He wasn't even born in 67.
But mine was a Vega.
Vega. Even with two lights, you could barely see with the Vega. But when one blew out, you knew it. You'd say, geez, what's going on? I can't see.
But not now.
So you would get it replaced. But now modern halogen lights and, of course, some of these other, high-energy discharge lights, these xenon lights, they're so bright, you would never notice if one were out.
Okay.
Yeah, most people find out. We have customers come into the shop all the time, and we notice that they have a light out, and we replace it. And people say, I never knew I had a light out.
Okay, great. I mean, that answers our question.
That does answer your question.
That's great.
Yeah, so now you can play the game even more, right?
Well, we also play it with taillights, too.
Oh, really?
Cuddiddle, I think. I'm not
Cuddiddle?
Sure.
We never played that
and
game.
And no one knows if the taillights are out.
No, unless the state police pull you over.
Right.
Thanks for calling, Barbara.
Okay, it was great. Thank you. Love your
see you
show.
Later.
See ya.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know you can't wait, we have to take a little break.
A little time off for good behavior?
Yeah, for our listeners.
We'll be back with the new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute, so please don't go away.
I was trying to make my way to Boston, the only town I ever got lost in. Well, I wound up going the wrong way on a one-way street. When a big old Mass state trooper I did meet said, "Back the truck up, or I'll lock you up. Well, your papers are out of date, and you're keeping me here too late. I won't say it again, just back the truck up."
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. And this is, I guess, a little folkloric, and it's long.
Go ahead.
Here it is. Our erstwhile producer, Dougie Berman, was recently diagnosed with a rare disease, chronic laziness. and if not treated, it could be fatal. Anyway, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor prescribes two different kinds of pills, okay? And he says, "I'm going to prescribe these two pills, and they have to be taken simultaneously. And you take them at bedtime every night. You're going to take one from one bottle, one from the other bottle. And it's the interaction of the two pills that really is the key."
Yeah.
You with me so far?
Yeah.
So you've got 10 pills in each bottle.
Yeah.
20 pills. You're going to take one of each.
Gotcha.
And if you make the mistake of taking two of the same pill, you're done for.
What about you take just one pill?
You're done for. You've got to take two. So Dougie decides he's going to convalesce at his remote mountain cabin, and he begins the six-hour drive to get there. But he's not having a good day because his car breaks down, and he has to walk like the last 20 miles, clutching his two bottles of pills, the only thing between him and the Grim Reaper. I mean, without the pills,
man,
he's done for.
Yeah.
So he arrives after dark, and he's so weak that delirium has begun to set in. And as he makes his way, as he makes his way to the kitchen sink, he stumbles and falls, and you guessed it, he spills pills all over the place. When he wakes up, he finds one of the containers has two pills in it. The other container is empty, and of course, there are 18 pills
scattered
all over the floor.
Of course.
Oh, fiddlesticks, he says.
Yeah.
But he begins to gather up the pills, and as he's looking at them, he discovers to his horror that they all look alike. Same color, same shape, same size. No way to tell them apart. I mean, they're just plain little white pills, no markings, no nothing.
Oh, man.
He's getting weaker by the minute. But he remembers that he has his own very accurate scale, one of those things they call an analytic scale, something that maybe a pharmacist would use or a chemist.
And he just happens to have this in his little summer cottage.
He has nothing else there. No food, no nothing, but he has the scale there,
yeah.
Right? You with me?
If not, where would you get this puzzle?
Exactly. Anyway, by the time he's weighed the 11th pill, his worst fear is confirmed. Not only do they all look and feel and smell alike, but they all weigh the same, too. So there's absolutely no way to distinguish one pill from another. And don't forget, he's got to take one of one and one of the other.
Yeah, otherwise he dies.
And if he should make the mistake of taking two that are the same, it's curtains. Oh, fiddlesticks, he says. But is there a way for Dougie to take the recommended dosage and save his life, or should we let the Grim Reaper in and start looking for a new producer? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
Our Fair City,
Matt 02238. And of course, this is filled with all kinds of obfuscations, declarifications, and misleading information.
Absolutely.
And more than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can email us your answer from cartalk.com. But if you want to call us right now with a question, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tritica, and I'm from Boise, Idaho.
Oh, whoa.
Wait, let me take a wild stab.
What's that city in Idaho again?
T-R-I-D.
It's T-R-I-T-T-I-C-A.
T-T-I-C-A. Wow.
Nice name. From whence Tritica. Does that derive?
Man, you know, I have a really strange father, and he just made it up.
I guess you do.
Yeah,
Tritica.
Yeah, and he wasn't a hippie, so...
He made it up.
He made it up. What did your mother have to say about this?
You know, I think she just was in a lot of pain from birth and didn't have much
to say. Yeah, those first few days, women are vulnerable. Tritica, fine.
Has he explained it to you in any way?
Well, my dad just took a word that he liked and kind of switched it around and made it feminine, and it just basically means trouble.
Trouble.
It does.
Oh, okay.
But Tritica is good. I like it.
Yeah, and the nice thing about it is there's no one else that has that name.
I hope not.
You hope not.
So is your father just generally wacko or what?
He's just a really fun guy.
He is.
Do you have siblings that have equally weird names?
Oh, no. Just my dog growing up.
Just a dog. What was the dog's name? Fred.
Buzzarina. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Tritica.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, I have a 2000 Chevy Venture.
Okay.
And it doesn't happen all the time. But when it happens, what happens is I'm driving down the road and over kind of to my right side, my right ear, I can kind of hear a whining kind of ee. And when it starts doing that, then I'll shift really hard, like clunk. And so every gear, and it's an automatic, and then sometimes once that starts, if I go into lower gears, it kind of shakes like it's slipping or something, and I don't know. And so I thought it was my transmission, but somebody else has told me, oh, it's a pressure gauge. Somebody else has said, you're just losing your mind because it doesn't happen all the time.
So you hear the noise coming from over your, behind you rather, behind your right shoulder.
No, it's more over, it's in the engine area. It's just to the right where the whining starts.
And what does the whining sound like? Can you make the sound?
It's just like a high-pitched
and it just all of a sudden does that for a short time.
Yeah, and then once it starts, then it'll shift hard. But if I pull over and wait for a few minutes and start up the car again, I have to turn it off. But if I start up the car again, it won't be shifting hard anymore.
So this happens when you first start driving?
Not necessarily.
Well, if you start from a stop, because otherwise it wouldn't be shifting up.
Right.
So once you're on the highway and you're in high gear.
It never does it.
Not once it's shifted into its highest gear.
Yeah. Uh-uh. Okay.
And then when it shifts hard, does it feel like it shifts from, you're waiting to shift from second to third, does it feel like the engine is bogging down and then all of a sudden the engine picks up and slams it into third gear?
Kinda.
See, my first feeling, my initial reaction.
Yeah.
Don't get too excited because it wasn't that good. My initial reaction was that it was the fuel pump.
What? Well, that's not very good.
But I thought if the fuel pump were faltering, then in fact you would lose power, and then if the whining went away.
Wait. She never said she loses power.
Well, she doesn't. I'm trying to put words into her mouth. if it's doing this harsh shifting, it may be because the engine is, not performing optimally. Okay, and then when it does, when the fuel pump.
Oh, this is why you wanted it to be over her right shoulder. Oh, this is no. I won't go for it. Absolutely.
All right. I have plan B.
You made up stories just to fit your crazy idea.
I have.
Out.
I have plan B.
Yeah, okay.
You're gonna like this a lot more.
Okay, go ahead.
I think you may have a vacuum leak.
I like that.
Yeah, you may have a vacuum leak, and that's causing the whistling sound.
Yeah.
And when you have that vacuum leak for those few few seconds, the engine is not performing optimally either. It's, in fact, it's almost the equivalent of having a weak fuel pump.
Yeah.
Because you're letting air,
Except the sound is coming from a different place.
It's coming from the right place.
Right.
It's coming from under the hood. And, in fact, if that's the case, it could screw up the way the transmission shifts.
Yeah.
You know, so Yeah, so what you need to do, I think, is have, with the engine running, have somebody like your husband poke around and see if you can move things or see if you can hear the whistling sound when the engine is just idling. Because it may be there to some extent. If it is a vacuum leak, it's going to get worse and a lot easier to find, and eventually it'll make the engine unrunnable.
So it's not the transmission that everybody else keeps
It's unlikely that it's the transmission. I don't like the transmission idea either.
I mean, it could be that without having driven it, it's hard to say. But I'm trying to give you something to hang your hope on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you've checked the fluid in the transmission. That's right.
Well, when I checked it, it's pretty dark.
Oh, really?
It's pretty almost black.
Oh, you're done.
That's not good.
No.
Oh.
All right, let's start all over again.
Okay.
You need a transmission, I think, Tritica. Yeah. First thing you ought to do,
I like the shaking hoses idea.
Yeah, I know, but that's not going to work.
Oh.
Yeah. No, but you should first change the transmission fluid.
Right.
Okay.
Drain out that junk and put some new stuff in there and see what happens.
See how long it takes for that to turn black. No, really, because if the transmission is on its way out, if it's grinding itself up, it will turn the new fluid black, and you may get a reprieve for a little while it's in the process of grinding up more pieces.
Get me through the holidays. Anyway.
It might get me through the holidays, but to be on the safe side, I wouldn't buy a whole lot of Christmas presents. Good luck.
Well, thank you.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, we gave her a false hope there. When she told me that the fluid was black.
That was the
kiss of death,
now.
So to speak. Well, anyway, maybe we can help the next person, right?
Yeah.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Ben in Los Angeles.
Hi, Ben. What's happening, man?
Well, I got a typical male problem, unfortunately. Can I put it euphemistically?
Sure.
Let's say you're a single guy and you're going out with this wonderful woman from church and she's really great and you know you should stick with her, but then you meet this beautiful woman in a bar one night and you know she's going to be trouble, but you got to have her anyway. Well, that's what happened to me.
You sure you want to be talking to us?
Are you sure you called the right number?
I thought you could fix anything.
We'll give it a shot.
I have been driving my late father's wonderful old Bonneville for a year or so now. And since 1967, I've always wanted a Jaguar, and I've always had enough sense not to buy one until recently. And I drove by
until you met this floozy at the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I drove by this mini mall parking, this garage sale, you know, and wound up going home with an XJ6, and it's been in and out of the garage ever since.
How old is it?
It's a 94.
Really?
And, I mean, you know, a month after I bought it, it stopped in a park. It wouldn't start at a fancy parking lot. The next week, it died on the freeway. And you know, a week later, we're doing transmission things. It's jerking, but the mechanic says, oh, you can't do anything about that. It's driven by a computer. It gets a little moisture in it. It'll do that, you know. And the engine light goes on again, and it's another $300. And I'm wondering, I got it for a good price. I thought I'd actually, you know, negotiated a really good deal, you know.
So did the seller.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a better deal.
Well,
yeah.
I'm at the point now, 4 months in, where, I mean, this car is so beautiful. It looks so great sitting in the garage, but it runs when it feels like it.
Yeah, well, it's just like that bleach blonde floozy,
you know. But there's so much fun, you know.
Well, I know, but high maintenance.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of surprised.
How many miles are on it?
78,000.
I mean, usually, the classic Jaguar syndrome, I guess, has always been that the car was basically good, but it just came out of the factory with all kinds of funny little quirks. And over the course of some number of years, the poor person who bought it knew would have fixed them all.
Yeah.
This is a magnificent car. There's no question.
Yeah.
You may be going to the dealer.
Well, I took it to the dealer once, and he couldn't fix it. He gave it up. I took it over to an old Mercedes guy I know, and he said, I'll fix it.
Oh.
But my question to you guys is, you know, am I going to work out these things, or do Jags just go on having little quirks and fits all the time, and am I going to have to live with it, or do I get rid of it and go back to the Bonneville, which starts every day no matter what, you know?
The Bonneville will be there for you, Ben.
Well.
Well, I mean, based on my evidence, which is entirely anecdotal, I would say that it is going to get fixed, and it's not going to happen over and over again, because we keep hearing stories from people, and we have no hard evidence to support this, but people tend to tell us that after all the little quirks got fixed, the car is great.
So you're telling me I should have married the blonde?
I would. Or, in my case, marry them all.
Well, that's kind of encouraging.
Well, it's nice that you have room for both of them, and you have a reliable backup car.
Yeah.
It is such a great car that it is worth all the effort and inconvenience that you will have, but that's what life is all about, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if Blondie said to you, you know, I can't cook, you'd say, who cares?
Who wants to cook?
Who's got time to eat? Yeah, whereas the Jaguar says, I can't start. And you say, who cares? You look great.
That's right.
Well, you know, find someone who really will love this car like you do. And you're in L.A. There are going to be lots of guys who work on Jags.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I would find a real Jaguar shop. It doesn't have to be the dealership.
Go to cartalk.com.
Ah, okay.
And we have there something called the mechanics files. And you can search the files by L.A. and Jag.
Great, great.
And it'll tell you the names of people who've been recommended by visitors to the website.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I think if you find the right guy, you will be very happy with this. This is a great car.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I really love it.
Live it up.
Okay.
See you, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Who's our esteemed producer?
Well, Doug the Subway Fugitive, Not a Slave to Fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman.
Oh, no kidding.
Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Arkansas Lobster Claw, Roast Macaw, Asian Slaw, Ripe Pawpaw, Candy Straw, and Ice Cream Thaw, Fill Your Paw and Stuff Your Craw, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our windshield wiper replacement team is Ike and Zeke Learley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Muhammad Ahamada Ahamada. Our spiritual counselors are Zeke and Yule Find. Our climate expert is Lou Sagusi. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. And our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the holiday jackhammerers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and of course, don't drive like Tommy.
And of course, don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1248, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, how do you know when to avoid a mechanic?
When it's one of us.
Well, that's one good indication. There are lots of other signs you should avoid a shop.
Such as?
Well, like crime scene tape around the service bays, or if all the toolboxes say Fisher Price on them, you can check out the whole list of signs you should avoid a garage and add your own suggestions right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Congress agrees to let their radios go over the fiscal cliff whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.